At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Jordi, Messi, Jordi, el Santo Messi!
Messi Uncle, Breaking Major League en la Ciudad del Sol. Here in Miami, we know who's el campeón. Leo my team, yeah. Suárez on the field, a los wedding day team. Con mis fechas un win, the three of five singing muchachos. La familia se escucha en los barrios. Esta camiseta pinky la llevan todos los guachos. Los rookies quedan sin comentarios. Messi ambetea, tiki taki gol. El estadio Chase bañado en gloria y sudor. Aquí se ama y se respeta el balón. Florida es tu casa, acostúmbrate al calor. Estate listo pa' Messi Anco. Estate listo pa' Messi Anco.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Messi & Co. I'm Ashley here, as always, with my incredible co-hosts, Gian and Matt. Happy Tuesday after a nice long Memorial Day weekend here in the United States. How's everyone doing?
Excellent. We're good. We're doing good. Long weekend, able to rest up and recover from what, I don't know, some would agree would be a good result over the weekend. Some would disagree, but that's what we'll talk about in a minute, but I'm doing good personally.
I'm doing good too. And I think that's an interesting way to put it, man. I think depending on who you are, you can see this game as like, oh, here we go again. Or, or wow, you know, at least we're taking a step in the right direction. So I think that's good. But yeah, no, I'm doing great. I'm doing great. I had a nice weekend, nice long weekend, spent it relaxing here at 100. It seems like 100 and something degree weather in Miami.
Yeah.
You know, if you got to make sure that the car is turned on about 15 minutes before you get to the car, because if not, it's like sweltering in there. I promise you, if I put an egg on top of my hood, I would be able to have scrambled eggs. Like, that's how hot it is.
Does your car have the automatic, like, turn on?
Yeah. Okay. Well, you can do it through the app or whatever, and you turn it on, and the AC turns on, so that's nice. My wife always tells me to do that, but I honestly always forget. So I always get into like a sweltering hot mess of a Sahara desert.
Well, at least you have that option. I don't even have that option for my car. I'm not bougie like that. I have to sit there I have to put all the windows down. I have to blast AC.
Do you have a radio in there? Like, do you have mute, or you have to take like a boombox or something in there?
No, I think I actually have. I think I have a Walkman also in there.
Yeah. So you got a hoop
glove compartment. I have everything. It's a retro. It's all retro.
It's a hoopty.
Yeah, cool. It's a hoopty. That's what you call it.
Nice. Well, I had a good weekend as well, and I like.
Oh yeah, how are you?
I'm doing good, thank you. I'm in Tampa right now, visiting family for a few weeks. So we talked about it last week, but exciting is that this Wednesday and Saturday, both home games that normally I would be going to with Gian, I will actually be live streaming during the match, giving my thoughts and reactions in real time. And hopefully we'll watch it together. So make sure you're subscribed to the Five Reasons Football channel, because that's where I'll be going live, probably on Twitter too, at Messi & Co. X, whatever. But I'm really excited about that. So been preparing.
For those of you that don't know, Ashley set up some really exciting things for the goal celebrations, right? You said that you'd be celebrating in a very unique way. You have something special for us for every goal celebration.
Yes, I will be cheering when we score.
Jump
on the couch, do a backflip. Yes. Yes.
I'm excited. I'm gonna be tuning into that.
You guys, since we've done an episode though, you haven't congratulated me on anything that's happened. I mean, we could also congratulate Gian, but you guys haven't congratulated me on something that happened last week that from a footballing sense is incredibly important.
I did.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
I did.
I know.
He didn't.
Gian, no, I know did. What you're talking about. I know what you're talking about.
I can sit back and relax. I'll let Gian.
Congratulations on the Spurs winning the Europa League.
Thank you.
Congrats.
Thank you. Glory, glory, Tottenham Hotspur. Thank you. That's my team from England. Anyone who knows me knows me.
What's the song? What's the song way. You know?
Hmm?
What's the There's song?
There's a song. Want me to sing it?
Yeah, can you?
Glory, glory, Tottenham Hotspur. Glory, glory, Tottenham Hotspur. Glory, glory, Tottenham Hotspur. And the Spurs go marching on.
On, on, on.
That's neat. That's, I'd never heard that. It seems similar to it. It has like the rhythm of like another song.
The Saints go marching in the Italian.
Yeah, the Saints go marching on. Yeah.
But okay. Europa League, first major trophy in 17 years. I was absolutely buzzing. Hoping to go catch a Champions League game this holiday time around Thanksgiving, Christmas, hoping to jet over to London and catch a game. So I'll keep posted on that. That would be really, really exciting. But yeah, it was a great day for me. And then the weekend continued, some would say, some wouldn't. And that's what we're going to talk about right now with Inter Miami in a very, very intense comeback tie versus the Philadelphia Union, 3-3 result with Inter Miami scoring goals in the 60th, 87th, and 95th minute of this match. And this was a match that had everything, right? It started off the way most have started off recently, which was, you know, Inter Miami struggling, especially offensively, creatively. The defense now seems to be struggling. A lot of unknowns happening. Yannick Bright got injured in the first half, which was really, I think, hard because he was playing so amazing and, you know, was one of the bright spots this team had. But somehow, some way, including an absolutely golazo kick, free kick goal by Lionel Messi, the team managed to come back and tie. And where do we go from here, I guess, is the question. My first thing would be, and you kind of touched on it, Gian, would you consider this to be a positive or negative result or neutral?
I think I'm one that always thinks context is really important when discussing any topic, especially when you're talking about a team like Inter Miami, what's been surrounding the team, where they've come from, what the season has looked like leading up to this game. But I think in this one case, for those that are maybe still struggling and thinking we're still heading in the wrong direction, we still can't get a win, maybe context is not working in their favor and is more so maybe clouding their judgment. And why do I say that? I say because if you're looking at it with everything that's happened with this team, where they went on a stretch without winning any games. What was that? Maybe 6 or 7 games. I think it was
without, six.
Yeah, about 6 games without winning anything. And then you go to this game, you're like, okay, here we go again. We don't win. We were down. We're 3-3. Yeah, that can look like not the best result. But then if you take all that out of the way, you're talking about an Inter Miami team that goes into the number one team's house in MLS. I mean, in the East, in MLS right now. They go down early to a really tough team, a team that's playing excellent. And then they come back and they show resilience and they're able to come out of there with a point away from home against the number one team in the East. That to me is a step in the right direction for me. I think that that's what you want from this team. You, with so much going wrong, you want at least something to go right. And this to me seemed like the one thing that finally went right. And from now, you just need to build out from that. Look, I know that we're talking about Mascherano and we've done several episodes about that. And there have been different hashtags online about Mascherano out. And we all have our ways. We all have our opinions about Mascherano. But at the end of the day, and you know, I tweeted this from my personal account. I had access, physical access to communication from a team representative, a team official. And while it wasn't directly from Mas and it wasn't directly from Beckham, this is a person that is directly tied to them and is usually in their place somebody that has to convey their opinion. So, you know, that person basically cited that they had support for Mascherano, that they also referenced the short I think the short run of the season so far, where we're still almost, you know, not even halfway, the semifinal run in the CCC, the fact that he's had to deal with a team that's star-studded in his first season as part of the reason why they support the project, and that he's still doing somewhat of a good job in their eyes. So I think that that probably directly reflects on leadership. So I would say, guys, he's in here for the long haul as of right now, unless something drastic changes. So you're going to want to root for these little victories. Even though it wasn't a victory, there are these little victories in performance. And this team looked better in my eyes.
I do have to agree with you on this case, because if you would have asked me this question, Ashley, when the game just ended, like if you would ask me after the game, I would have come on here with all the negativity in the world, to be honest. But then I rewatched the game, and like what Gian said, I took under consideration the context of what, you know, of what the game meant, what the situation was. It was a struggling Inter Miami. We didn't win in six games. We were honestly getting destroyed by most teams. They get, you know, Minnesota, Orlando, and we go to Philly, Subaru Park, number one team in the East, and we managed to get a draw on the road. I think is a very positive thing to take away from that. And what I loved about this What I liked about this tie was, what I liked about this game was the fact that even though, in my opinion, and many can agree or disagree, in the first half, I thought we were really, really poor, and just how we were playing. But in that second half, there was definitely something that sparked. Whether that was, and you can put all the credit, you can give all the credit to Messi and his free kick for sparking the comeback, making it 2-2, an unbelievable free kick, and Mascherano making the offensive substitution, bringing on Telasco Segovia. He scored. It was called offside. Then he scored again to equalize the game 3-3. You know, moments like that really, really influenced the team to not give up, which is something that we've seen, I feel like, Inter Miami do as of late, is that they go down 2-0, they go down 2-1, 3-0, whatever the case may be, and it's like they just become demoralized, they give up, and they're essentially out of the game. But we didn't see that in the second half of this game against Philly, and that's something that I think is very positive and is definitely a step in the right direction.
I think you touched actually on a great point right there. Mm-hmm. If this team went down 2-0, you thought it was over. It was basically over.
Yeah.
The fact that it was minute 86.
And then 3-1.
Exactly.
We were down 2-0 and then 3-1.
Minute 86 and you're down 3-1. The fact that this team still came back and showed resilience to end the game, I think, was a huge step in the right direction. Now, when I look at this game, there were some things to me that, despite, again, it being somewhat successful, like I think that Mascherano still obviously now tinkering with this team, trying to figure out, but the whole thing with Jordi Alba, like when you saw that lineup with Jordi, well, at least when it was presented before the game even started, you thought it was going to be like basically a back five, right? Where you were going to have probably Frey and Alba as wing backs, and they were, but it ended up not being that. It was actually a back four with Frey on the right, and Alba was actually part of the midfield. So I thought that was a little strange. I didn't think that worked. I think that's just maybe, I think it's just Mascherano trying to say, what the hell do I do now? Like, I need to try something different. And I just thought, I didn't think that worked very well. So, and that was a change that that you mentioned in the second half when, you know, he took out Ian Frey, he put in Chelo, then he basically took out Aviles, and he had Alba come back down to the middle, and it was Luján and Allen. No Allen in the middle. So he went back to a back four, and that's where Segovia came in. That looked better, obviously, than the first half. So I thought that was good. And I want to point out one more thing, because I think there's a lot of things that we can probably discuss about this. But one other thing that I would like to see a bit different with this team is, you know, they don't really have, or at least Mascherano doesn't give the indication or strategic instruction for the center backs to be able to play the ball out and to try to break a line or two. And because of that, and I don't know if it's because maybe he doesn't have the confidence in them, but he has Busquets always be the guy that drops back in when they're building out of the back to put the ball in his hands and he's basically all the way back, and he has to put in a pass to break the midfield and try to start an attack. I'd like to see less of that, so that Busquets is already in the midfield. You have another connection point there, and to have more of the confidence in Noah Allen or Aviles or Lujan to be able to make a play with the ball. Look at the second goal. The second goal was Aviles. He broke a line. He took a defender. He went into wide open space, and that completely opened up the game that ended up in that goal for, I think it was who scored?
Telasco.
Or Telasco, one of the two.
It was a cross from Allen into Telasco.
Yeah, into Telasco. So I think that I'd like to see more of that, more confidence in our center backs to be able to make that play where they can, you know, somebody can break a line, make a pass. I think that's going to help our team a lot more.
Agreed. Yeah, I think it was a positive result. And you know, if we, maybe a month or two ago, we would be saying something different. And that just kind of goes to show how seasons change, ebb and flow. Every game is different from the next. But to go and score what were, in my opinion, three great goals, great team goals. First goal, which ended with the Allende header into goal. It was a really well-worked play. And it was exactly what this Inter Miami team needed to do, which was, like you said, you break the line, you create the passes, you create a good cross in, and you finish it. That's what we want to happen more and more. And then the free kick, that's team and Messi pushing forward, getting themselves into a good position. You know, it was an amazing free kick, but it was done because, you know, everyone was put in the position where they gave up a foul right in Messi land. And so he made them pay. And then finally, with Segovia, a great, highly technical shot after a good piece of play on the left. So all good goals, and all, like, to your point, showing the resilience of the team. And I said, you know, like my joking phrase, start of the championship TBD, because that's a moment where you have every reason to lose, right? You're down 2-0 against Philly. Things aren't going well. Just trying to get on the other foot. And then you turn around and you get an amazing result where you had Suarez, Messi, Busquets, and Alba, you know, fighting till the very last breath. And that's what you want to see. So, yeah, I think
it was. I have a question for you, Ash. To me, with every game that passes, I see there more of a need for Suarez to hit the bench. Did this game change anything for you in that respect? Because for me, again, I just saw a Suarez that doesn't do much in that position, or doesn't really is not up to the task of what that position needs and what Inter Miami needs out of that that forward spot.
I didn't think he had a great game. Especially in the first half, it just seems that every time he's gets a good ball, he has a bad first touch, bad run, bad, you know, the things that he normally always excelled in. And so I guess my answer, it's like no, but I don't know if Obando is quite ready to take that position. And so then you could say you could put Allende as your starter, and then, you know, have like a Fafa start on the right, which I would be very happy with, or Segovia. I would think maybe step one is reducing it to 60 or 70 minutes and then making the changes quicker, because even though it was in bad circumstances, I thought a lot of the changes that that Mascherano made were positive. And so, you know, outside of circumstance, if they can continue doing that, I think it would be good. But I didn't see it. He's not doing anything now to make it seem like he should keep the position.
And I agree, because, I mean, Suarez, to me, I'm always going to – and I say this time and time again, Suarez has always been a fantastic player. He's one of the best strikers in our generation. I mean, anything that I say, and I think I can speak for all of us, that we don't mean any disrespect when it comes to benching Suarez, but he's a 30-minute player. Like, he has to play 30 minutes, maybe maximum one half, 45 minutes, and then he has to either hit the bench or just not play, because, unfortunately, he's just not – playing at the level that people expect him to, and playing at the level that this club needs him to be. he played 90 minutes. He had a 0.18 XG. I don't think he had a shot, at least not a shot on target. Yeah. The whole all game. I think he completed maybe 20 passes, and that was maybe in the.
And he kept losing the ball. Like, he kept having.
He lost possession like more like at least 10 times. Like, I was checking the stats like all of this afterwards, but you could tell on the field like he's losing possession a lot. He's not running as much as you would want him to. In the first 30 minutes, he was putting in passes with Messi, was trying to link with Messi, with Busi, with Tadeo, with whoever. But then after that, it was just very, very slow, very sluggish, there was a huge disconnect as the game progressed. And as much as we would like to see him on the bench, I guess it maybe is how you could say it, or at least kind of test that. The next question is, do we have the right caliber players to take his place and to fulfill the role that he has to do? Because we have Tadeo Allende, we have Obando, like Ashley said, which we don't know yet. We have Fafa, who can play that, but we haven't really seen it as much. So it's like, when you bench Suarez, who is up to take, you know,
it's not like Campana's still on the team, right? It's like, if Campana on the team, it's a much easier decision, and it sounds crazy, but it's not the same.
I don't think it's because of a lack of players that Suarez is not on the bench. I think it's because of his name. I think there are other implications to having him on the bench, including what Messi thinks, more so than anything, and what that cost. I think that would also cause turmoil within the locker room. From a sporting decision, it's not the best decision to have him out there on the field. For me, if I'm Mascherano, I have Tadeo Allende playing in the middle. I saw one of these plays in this last game against Philadelphia where Tadeo Allende was bringing up the ball. He had Suarez on the left. He had in the middle Noah Allen, which is crazy. Noah Allen basically as a center back, and he had Ian Frey on the right. And they were both Noah Allen and Suarez had space to run into, but neither of them had the speed to beat their center back. So Allende was forced to make the pass out to the right to Ian Frey, and the play absolutely went to crap and nothing happened. So then I go and I look at that and I think, what if instead of Noah Allen in the middle, you had Allende making that run into space? Mm-hmm. What if instead of on the left, it was Suarez? Instead of Suarez, you had Fafa Picolt making a run into space. I just think that the game completely changes when you have more speed up front, when you're able to, like, how often are we scoring goals where it's a ball played into space because you have a sprinting center back or sprinting somebody, and that's very few. And you know why? It's because we don't have the player personnel on the field to do that. So it completely changes the way the team plays. So for me, again, I think there are other implications to having Suarez on the bench, which are why Mascherano doesn't do it. I don't know what sports like wise, like game wise, there's no other reason why Suarez would be there. It's unfortunate. That's a complete change from one season to the next for Suarez. He was slow last season, but he's even slower this season, you know?
Yeah,
it will be interesting to see how that turns out, and you know, we're gonna get to it in a second, but we're about to have a 10-day window open before the start of the Club World Cup, and a lot of very interesting names being tossed around. I want to quickly though, last thing I want to say though, before we move on, is let's take a second to recognize the free kick by Lionel Messi. I mean, obviously we're used to it by now, like it seems like nothing, but I still am impressed that, you know, from minute one to 90, no matter the score, like, he's not stopping. You know, yeah, he does his walking and you can say X, Y, and Z, but he is always trying to create a play and always trying to score and win. Like, he's always doing everything he can to get his team to win, and you never question that. And then that goal, just amazing. And it was his playmaking belief in the extra time. For that first, like, when that goal happened in extra time, if you saw him, he was in the halfway line near the all the way on the other side to start the play, and went all the way back just so he can get the play started and get things going to try and create the chances. Like, he's still messy, and you know, I think if we can continue to mold and affect the players around him, there's still plenty good of Messi left and plenty chances for this team to win silverware.
Yeah, I would also say that if there's anybody that you should also thank for that goal, and aside from Messi, it would be Kai Wagner, number 27, who ran back to cover the open area of the goal and basically kept Luis Suarez onside.
Oh, that's right.
Because if it wasn't for that, I'm almost certain that goal would have been offside. Suarez went up to it went right above his head. That would have been called offside 100%. So a little bit of luck there, but just the fact that he's able to pinpoint that exact spot, like Messi, and you don't often see that. The goals that are on the goalkeeper's side, that is an even tougher one. So he continues to do it, man. He's almost there as the free kick goal leader. I think that you have Juninho, and then somebody
and
else.
Then Pelé.
Is it Pelé? Yeah, and he's what, maybe like 10 or so away? Like he may actually do it. Like
he probably, I forget, but like I know he's third. I know Messi's third in that ranking. He passed Beckham. I think I'm pretty sure he's over Ronaldo. He's over everybody. So, and like you said, like in that near post, it's very, Suarez did a really good job, I guess, trying to distract the keeper. I think, I think that was his intention.
I think he was trying to do that, but he got lucky.
he got lucky. But like he had to put, but for De Messi to put it there and the goalie being there and the goalie still not being able to get to it, that just shows like pure power, pure precision from somebody amazing. Like Lionel Messi at his age, at this point in his career, it's like he could still do it. And it's amazing to see.
100%.
Juninho is at 77 and then Pelé is at 70.
And then Messi is 60
something. Yeah, I can't even see it here, but I mean he's close, and I think that in our lifetime, like soon, like I think we may see that. It's possible. It's gonna be tough, but I think it's possible if he plays another two seasons. Let's see.
Do Olympicos count as free kicks?
No, but he tries one every game.
Every game, and you know what? People are mad about it. I know. Keep doing it. I want one to go in. He deserves it to complete it.
He's come close to a few of them.
He's come close. He needs to do it.
But people are like, goalies are expecting it now. So it's like, he's like, he really got to catch him off guard. He's really got to catch him off guard.
Yeah, it says Messi has 66. There you go. Messi has 66.
He's not that far
off. He'll definitely get four more. It's about if he can get 11 more. But I think he can.
I think he can get four. I think he can get four more.
Four to Pelé and 11 to Juninho Pernambucano. So that's going to be a bit tougher, though.
Yeah.
Okay, so now let's transition to exciting news. And like we said earlier, transfer window for the Club World Cup will be open June 1st to June 10th in order for for clubs to help reinforce their roster for the tournament. And since we've been in the tournament, you know, names and stuff have been going around with the idea that Inter Miami will probably utilize this window to try and make a big splash to help, knowing the players they've gotten rid of over the last year, the trades they've made, etc. So there's some pretty big names out there. I did a poll on our Twitter, and with 150 votes, it is pretty close. And I'll tell you, I gave four options. Option number one, and I'd say the first two options only became sort of options in the last 48 hours or 72 hours. Cristiano Ronaldo. Why? Because I said, 24 hours ago, he announced that he will not be playing for Al Nassr in the next season. So he technically becomes unavailable. His contract expires in June. He is available. Luka Modric, it was announced obviously Saturday. It was his final match with Real Madrid and immediately became a link up for Inter Miami. Probably, I would say something that definitely could be a possibility that I didn't think about 72 hours before, you know, really like giving it so much thought. But then now that he officially left Real Madrid, Angel Di Maria, who obviously is no longer going to be with Benfica, same thing, contract expires in June. But a name that has always been floating around, you know, for the last year as certainly a possibility. And then I wrote someone else if there was someone they wanted to type in. Do you want to know, before you guys tell me what you think, do you want to know what the percentages are?
Yeah, go ahead.
Who do you think has first? Who do you think had first?
I mean, I know our audience, it shouldn't be Cristiano. So
I was going to guess Cristiano because I don't know if there were people who were.
And Gian? Is that your guess too? Cristiano.
Who got the most votes? I think it should. I mean,
not what you think. Modric. What do you think happened? Like, what do you think should have gotten the most votes?
Modric.
Okay. Wrong. Angel Di Maria with 34% of the votes.
Second place
after that, 31% Cristiano Ronaldo, and then 29% Luka Modric. So very still
close. That was close.
No, they're all pretty close. And only 5% for someone else being like a defender, and someone wrote someone below the age of 35. Fair enough. Not going to happen though. So, we're going to start off with it because this is a new show. This is a show where we give our thoughts and how we want to see Messi and this Inter Miami team succeed.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Man, what do you do, or how do you even think? How can your mind find space for the concept that Cristiano Ronaldo could sign a contract to play in a competitive professional football match with Lionel Messi before they have retired? Just the thought. Like, can it even enter your brain?
Do we have space in the bank for that? Do we
like can the
let
can
alone the, let alone the space European in the mind? Let end? Alone space in the mind. Do we have space in the pockets for that?
As long as we have Adidas's phone number, we're okay.
Let's hear it.
It's such an this literally having Messi and Ronaldo being on the same team is something that I feel like people have talked about since like the beginning of like their rivalry. And now that like that possibility could like happen is like very weird because it's like before it was like, yeah, no, that's never going to happen. But now it's like, okay, wait,
now the option
is very out there.
It's the 1% that we'd never had before, right? Never, even just 1%. It's crazy to think about.
It's crazy. And Ronaldo's like what, 41, I think. But he's still going. Like he's still very in shape. He's still
and he's close to 1,000 goals, which I think he's going to try his very best to reach. So yeah, agreed. He's not going anywhere.
It'll just be very awesome to see two superstars like Messi and Ronaldo partner and team up together competitively in the MLS and just completely take over the entire league. Like But I don't know. I think that'd be very interesting. The thing that I do question though is like, I wonder if Ronaldo were to join, are there egos gonna like clash together? Like,
yes.
Is Ronaldo's ego? Like,
of
how
course.
Big of it would, how much bigger is he gonna get? I think that's pretty funny to me.
It would never work, but football would smile for a day. They just would. Imagine if they were closer in age, if LeBron got to play with Michael Jordan, you know, for like a playoff series on the same team. Like you'd be like, wow, like basketball won today. Like that's something that would be so amazing. But Gian, you don't think it's ever going to happen.
Look, I'm just going to say if Cristiano somehow finds his way to Inter Miami, at least we'll have another jersey in the stadium other than Messi. So that's a plus. And I'll say there's still time to add more seats to the Freedom Park. So if they're going to do it, they better
get more F1 seats. We'll get like
they may have to add an entire level to that and make it like, you know, like, I don't know,
like American football stadium. Yeah.
Because look how many fans Messi brought. So I assume an equal amount will come for Cristiano Ronaldo. But look, man, I'm a traditionalist when it comes to football, and just the lore of Cristiano Ronaldo versus Messi is something that I don't want to lose. It is, you know, I mean, from an entertainment perspective, and that's what MLS is all about. It's about the spectacle. And that's why I know I'm going to take a turn here for the negative, but that's why MLS says that they have plans to be one of the best leagues in the world and mm-hmm. this and that. But at the end of the day, they do it more like a business, and it's about the spectacle. And most of the people that go to these MLS games, and maybe I'll speak for Inter Miami, they're there for the entertainment purposes. And that's if that's what they're going to continue to drive in, the entertainment and the spectacle, then Cristiano Ronaldo is a perfect answer for that. If you're talking about football-wise and the competition and the tradition and the beauty of the beautiful game, I would love just to keep it as Cristiano Ronaldo versus Messi for the rest of time, because it's one of the most beautiful competitions, one of the most beautiful battles that we've had, I think, been able to live in history. And I just don't want it to end as them just teaming up. So other than that, I also just don't think it would be a good fit for this team. I think this team needs to get younger. I think that he's a guy that comes with a lot of baggage as well. If you followed Cristiano Ronaldo's career, he's somebody that is high maintenance. He's somebody that has a lot of ego. He's somebody that requires a lot of attention. And I don't know, you know, I think that Messi already requires a lot of attention, and Messi, they're going to hire a whole new staff, like 10 more staff members to handle both.
Just for him, just for Ronaldo.
Just for
Ronaldo. Maybe a SWAT team outside of every practice.
And you're going to have to hire Yassine number two. And it's just, I just don't think he's the best fit for this team, you know, at all. He just turned 40 in February. He'll be 41 soon. And, despite him, he's like a LeBron James, where he's been able to take care of his body and all that. Yeah. But at the end of the day, there's only so much you can do. And I would hate to invest what you probably need to invest to bring in a player like Ronaldo when his body's going to probably start, you know, deteriorating, and he's just not the best fit for this team. So for me, it's a no. But at the end of the day, if he ends up here, it'll be fun probably to watch.
It will definitely be fun. Well, look, again, I mean, I think it's up until tomorrow, it was, yesterday, never, ever, ever a possibility. After yesterday, 1%. I wouldn't say any more than that. It would be an absolute, it'd be madness to have it get done. If it happened, though, I think football would smile for a day. I think that'd be amazing. And the fact that we can include it in our title and we're actually having a real discussion, this isn't like a joke. This isn't a bit. This is us saying, what could Cristiano Ronaldo fit or play on this team or have the, you know, moment when that's just the idea that we can speak these words, the American mind cannot comprehend. And that,
dude, if they're going to do that, they better bring Pat Riley and Andy Ellisberg from the Heat to figure out how the hell it's going to work money wise.
Robert Taylor could. Did Robert Taylor lead us to
Cristiano Ronaldo? He'll be
30 for 30 specials on that.
He's going to expect more than what Inter Miami is worth to come there. The way
I agree. But God, it's fun to talk about.
That's why we dropped Grasso, right? And
exactly. All right. So then here are two other ones, though, that let's talk about these and what you think. This is a two-part question because you may have different answers. Part one, who do you think is most likely to sign of the two players I'm going to mention? And the other question, who is the best fit? Now, it could be the same person or it could be different. Those two players, Luka Modric and Angel Di Maria. I was actually even going to say Kevin De Bruyne at one point, but he's going to Napoli, and I think it would have been Chicago anyway. So Angel Di Maria and Luka Modric. We'll start with the first question. Who do you think is more likely for Inter Miami to sign?
I say Di Maria all day long. I don't know. Do you want to answer, and then I'll go to why I think, Gion?
I think it's probably Modric.
Okay.
So I think it's Modric because why the hell is Messi have to go to the defense to get the ball? Why does Messi have to go all the way so deep into the midfield to get the ball? You get Modric there. Modric is going to be the one handling the ball. He'll be able to him along with Busquets. I mean, you've got two amazing playmakers there. Busquets stays a little back. Modric can go up a little higher. If you've watched Modric as of late, the man runs probably more than 99% of the team than the young guys that we have. The amount that he does, he plays defense as well. Mm-hmm. And I think he'd be excellent. That would allow Messi to play a little higher up, and we need a playmaker. We really do. Messi can't be the only guy. If that's the problem. If Messi is a primary playmaker, that means he's less involved in the actual defining moment of actually scoring. And I think you want him more involved in the attack and less in the actual. Less than the actual build out. So for me, it's definitely him. It's going to be Modric.
Okay, Matt.
Is Modric Argentinian though? Like, you know what I'm saying?
Well, you know, can I tell you the truth though? I think the answer would have been Angel Di Maria for a very long time.
Yeah.
But I also honestly think if that was the answer, it would have happened already. I think it would have happened in January or even last summer, because while he's obviously still he played a role in Benfica this year, it didn't feel like it was, you know, it's not like he was the only cornerstone of that team, and you know, they had these huge aspirations X, Y, and Z. You know, I think it could have happened last year, and he could have been, you know, especially knowing they had gotten rid of offensive players. So all that to say, I think it hadn't happened yet because there was other priorities, and maybe this summer, this window upcoming was going to be a priority, knowing that you may now have a few more players available. And not to say Angel Di Maria is in high quality. Of course he is. I mean, you know, he one of the best to ever play for Argentina, played for every great team, would be a great addition, you know, especially since we are struggling with attack, he would definitely be creating. But I think, you know, this team needs, to your point, needs that midfield conductor to help Sergio. Imagine you have Sergio Busquets and Luka Modric in the same midfield, planning everything out, having like laying all the chess pieces. And then, you know, you go, oh, Messi, little ball in Suarez, little ball in Allende, Fafa run over the top. Like, imagine that, you know, with Angel Di Maria, you're just getting an explosive attack weapon. And so, with Luka Modric being available, I think it's the better fit, and I think it's the more likely one. I just think Angel Di Maria, I think it would have happened already. I could be wrong, and we'll know, but I just think it would have happened already.
I think quickly with my theory on the Angel Di Maria thing, I think he always wanted to go back to Benfica and give like his thanks, because Benfica is essentially where he spent, I think, what, like four seasons with them, which is like the longest he's been with the club, I'm pretty sure, or except for I think Man United, but I don't know, it doesn't matter. And he wanted to go back to Benfica. I think he wanted to come to Miami and everything was set, but to be honest, they were probably like, oh, okay, when your contract expires, I think they all planned it, so it's like, oh, okay, you just run once you're stint with Benfica's over, you can always come to Miami and then finish your career with Messi. Like, I always thought like it was always there, and like you said, Inter Miami wanted to prioritize other players, to sign other players and bring everybody in, and then once everything settled, they're like, okay, then Angel can come if he can, if he wants. I only say that because
I think that was it until 4 days ago when Luka Modric played his last game for Real Madrid. I think that was under the assumption that Luka Modric wouldn't be available, because I think that really changes a lot of things.
Well, yeah, because at the end of the day, it wasn't his decision. I don't think it was Real Madrid's decision to be like, okay, hey, we're going to move on, or like we're going to.
I thought he was going to stay another year. I thought
was the plan. That was the plan.
He's playing the Club World Cup for them, so he'd have to come. He wouldn't be able to play that with us, just so you know.
But he'd be able to sign with the team.
I'm not exactly sure the mechanics of that. I just know that like he may be able to sign for maybe afterwards, but he won't be able to play the Club World Cup with us because he's playing with Rad. I also want to say one thing. Like, me, and I'll speak personally, by no means am I advocating for us to sign any of these guys. Like, I am not pushing for it. I don't think they should.
You don't want anybody.
What I will say is, if they're going to go and sign some random off of Chacaritas FC in the second division of Ecuador that's sitting on the bench like they do some of their players, I would take these guys over them, but by no means should they be like the focal point. Like, this is what's going to make this team better. They need guys that are physically fit. They need guys that are starters on other teams, not bench players like Chelo was in Boca behind Advíncula. They need guys that are going to come in that aren't injury prone. We've brought in countless guys that already had injuries. I think with Freire and other players. So, and that's an issue that we've had. So we need, that's another thing. And we need guys that are fast. I heard if guys that are fast, that you're actually going to play, because you brought in Fafa.
Yeah.
And we heard about how faster this team got and all that. And he sits on the bench. So don't bring in a guy that's fast if you're not going to play him. What this team needs is there's I think three key things that I would want from this team. And I'm not even going to go goalkeeper, but that could be one. We need a center back that they trust that can play the ball, that's going to be able to take the ball and play it out and make good passes. We need a winger that's fast, that can play, that can take a guy or two, that can make the dribble past a few players. We don't have somebody, and if we do, they're not, I don't know where they are, maybe Afonso, but he doesn't, they don't play him. And you need a forward. You need a fast forward, somebody that's fast, not what we have. Those are for me.
So based on those requirements, I would say Angel Di Maria would be the more useful player. I would say though, for Luca, here's a question: If I said yes, okay, he's playing for Real Madrid for World Cup, but then he signs with Inter Miami for the rest of the season, mm-hmm. Still rather have Angel Di Maria if he meant he was playing in the Club World Cup for us?
I personally would still. I don't think Modric is going to come. Because if Modric comes, that means Bright can't play. That means Redondo can't play. And then that means Delasco probably can't play in the midfield either.
Correct. Yeah, correct. Yeah.
And so it's like, if Modric comes, then like everybody's going to have to sit on the bench. And then it's like, well, why did we even bring these guys in if we're just going to play Modric and Busi? And I think like they would want to play players like, well, Bright has been probably one of our best players all season. But now that he's injured, but like the last goal, he needs to further develop. Redondo needs to further develop. And if Inter Miami really care and want to develop these players, then they're going to develop them and not bring somebody like Modric. For Di Maria, even though we do have Fafa, he's essentially like our only option on the wing, except for Tadeo Allende. And then you have Leo Afonso, who can play on the wing, but he barely gets any minutes off the bench. But with Di Maria, you would probably give him minutes. Because then you result, because like what Marcelo's been doing, he's been resorting to Jordi Alba on the left wing. So instead of playing Jordi Alba on the left wing, you can play Di Maria. You'll put Jordi back in his original position. You'll see how that works out. And Di Maria has been playing like 90 minutes, almost 90 minutes every single game, almost for Benfica this season. Except for,
He definitely hasn't
dropped, like dipped. Right? It was only at the end of the season where he got injured. It was around my birthday. It was like in February for like a couple weeks. I think it was like a month and a half he got injured. And then like he was like slowly like was integrated back into the team. But I mean, if he stays healthy and he's quick, if he's fit, which he is, and he can still provide like all the abilities and the technical and the everything, I think he'll be a valid option on the wing.
Eight goals and 5 assists in 20 starts this season.
That could be a huge difference maker for Inter Miami, 100%. 100%. Any other names that you think could come up, or do you think it's probably going to be Di Maria? Because, I mean, again, you know, I still think this 10-day window and just like this summer has more options than was initially expected in terms of big names, right? Yeah. So I think it will obviously there could be changes and there could be things where they're going for bangs. And so I think it'll be really fun and interesting to see. We'll know. I mean, I don't know if we'll know for sure on June 1st, but we'll probably start to get an idea as it gets closer.
This is like a completely like curveball. I know this is not going to happen, but I wanted to bring it up. Yeah. Because I saw a post about it, not about this specifically, but about the player, and it's Jamie Vardy. Because I'm like, he just finished his thing with Leicester. So I'm like, okay, he's a free agent. We need a striker. Let's freaking sign Jamie Vardy. I would much rather prefer Jamie Vardy over Suarez at this point in my life, because Suarez is not giving me any hope. You
over Suarez, Matt.
Jamie Vardy's not a bad shot.
I just thought it was funny. I just thought it'd be a funny thing to do. Like Jamie Vardy coming to Inter Miami, I think would be like the funniest transfer ever in probably our history.
It would be funny seeing him. It'd be hilarious.
I think it'd be hilarious.
Neymar, of course, was an option people floated, but you can't pay him for how injured he is now at this point. You just can't.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Unfortunately.
It's a shame. But
I thought Kevin De Bruyne was a viable option until, you know,
a lot of people were riding that train. Yeah, a lot of people really liked that option and really wanted him to come. But I guess I thought that it was going to be way too early for him to come to MLS because he's only, what, 33, 32, I think. So it's like makes more sense for him to stay in Europe. The fact that he's going to Napoli is great. Like that's great. If he were to complete that, I don't know if that's actually official,
but I think it's pretty close. Yeah,
is it? Yeah, so like if that happens, I think that's great for him, and he should continue to play at a pretty high level, especially for Napoli, who's been doing great in recent years. And they won the Scudetto, didn't they?
That's
amazing. So I think it's way too early. I think he should stay in Europe as long as he can until he's really, really time for him to drop down a level.
To the MLS. You know who mine is? It's so crazy, but it can't happen. It can't happen. Let us hear it. But I would love it. Romelu Lukaku. But he has another year for Napoli, so it's not going to happen. But I'm just saying, I think he's
2027 or something, so he's got some time.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
He can come after.
I think it's going to be Di Maria. I feel like, I know I said, like, you know, they waited, but I think with that being said, like, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen now, right? Like they've been waiting for the summer to make one more big splash. And so I think it probably is. If you see other names, maybe won't be surprised, but are you okay, Gian?
Yeah. I'm just thinking, I'm like, it's just stressing me out. Get rid of Suarez already, man. It's so stressful because I'm sorry that I keep like staying on that tangent, but it's like, even on defense, he doesn't help. So it's so tough to have two guys with him and Messi.
If Di Maria plays, though, it's so Suarez will still play.
That's the thing that
The
team is not going to get much better until Suarez is not getting this amount of playing time. It's just he's not scoring and he doesn't defend. You literally have a team playing with two less people defending.
Yeah,
it's insane.
I heard Sergei Kristoff is still a free agent.
Actually, you know what's funny? I was searching right now on Transfer Market for free agent, and he came up. Like I was,
That's funny.
Literally just came up right now. So,
yeah, no, we could use a. I don't know, but
we'll see. We'll definitely. I think by the end of this week, have maybe more of an idea than before on what the team's going to do. In terms of the immediate, though, tomorrow, let's do just a super quick preview. Like I said, I will be live streaming the match. It's Inter Miami hosting Montreal, who are currently sitting last, 15th in the Eastern Conference. A game home after, like we said, a good result, in our opinions, on Saturday, where you saw a lot of, you know, you saw hustle, you saw resilience, you saw the comeback, you saw the energy and the personality that the team needs. And I think tomorrow is crucial in order to continue that pattern, because you're playing Saturday, you're hosting Columbus, which is going to be a really difficult match. Mm-hmm. And so I think tomorrow they need to win, and they need to win comfortably in order to really steady the ship and get things, you know, ready for what is going to be, starting Saturday, a crazy month of Columbus, and then before you know it, you're in the Club World Cup. You're about to get a major signing. Don't know who it is yet, but it's going to be somebody. And so all to play for, maybe Messi, maybe the announcing of Messi's extension, all those things are about to happen. So I think tomorrow is super important to like lay the groundwork of a solid, positive victory, and then shoot out the cannon. Any thoughts?
I think just make sure that you're healthy for that Columbus game and that that you look good against Columbus, because that's going to set the tone for the FIFA Club World Cup, the Montreal game. I mean, I feel like that should be an easy game.
It needs to be. That's what we need. The team needs it to be one, so that it can help.
This is quite literally the definition of a trap game. Like, if I've ever like given a definition, like if you were to look up on the dictionary, yeah, what's the definition of a trap game? It's Inter Miami versus Montreal. Like, that's the quite literal definition, because they are last place. They're last place in the East. They only have one win. They're the worst, one of the worst teams in the MLS, except for a very historic LA Galaxy, winless LA Galaxy. And like, this is something that we should win. But this is something that we have to talk about, is that if we get anything less than a win tomorrow, we're screwed. Like, this is bad.
It's really bad.
It's something that I don't want to think about.
Not if you don't win. There's like, I'm not even going to look for a positive.
I don't want to. No. I think we need to.
The positive is Messi scores 4 free kick goals and we lose 5-4, but now we've tied with Pele. That's the only positive that I would
accept. If that happens, we'll still have people that said Messi needs to put the team on his back, even if he scored 4 free kicks.
But that would be my only thing that I would be okay with.
People will say Messi is still not playing good this season.
We lose by 5, but he gets 4 free kicks and equals Pele. That's the only thing.
So this team is Montreal's dead last.
Yeah.
Dead last.
In the East.
Dead last.
Also, they were Inter Miami V2 for a long time.
They have 1 win, 9 losses.
Yep.
5 ties.
Yep.
And let's see, they're playing away. What is their away record? They are 1-6-2. So they've only won 1.
I think it was against NYCFC.
But they have Bryce Duke, and that scares me.
Yeah, Bryce Duke.
Bryce Duke, who could have been, honestly.
Vengeance for Bryce Duke.
I remember him. We should do an episode one day, like maybe since we're going to have that 2 weeks, or what is it, 10 days before the Club World Cup start. We should do an episode of like our favorite Inter Miami players that are no longer here, or like our favorite moments, like the pre-Messi, right? Like the first 3 years without Messi, like you know, the who were the cult heroes, cult classics. You know, remember when you had the Argentinian
Julian Carranza?
No. Well, yeah, we did have Julian Carranza, yeah. But the defensive duo, the center back.
Oh, Figal and González Pires. And González Pires. That was so
good. González Pires, exactly. So yeah, crazy. But they were rocking.
They were rocking. Yeah, right? They were getting red cards every game, but they were rocking. Okay.
Let's see.
That's funny.
They're actually scoring.
Pizarro.
Pizarro.
Our original number 10.
They're scoring 0.66 goals per game. So technically, they shouldn't even score on us.
that's what we'll be hoping for.
Just go in at home, get an easy win. Mm-hmm. Go in there, get an easy win.
Build off the energy from Saturday.
Yeah. Sub out your important players early. Just make sure you get in there, get the result, get 2-0, get everybody out, have them ready for Columbus. Columbus is an important game too. Columbus right now is 5th, but that's the game before the Club World Cup. Make sure you go into the Club World Cup good. I think what they need to do also is just take these 2 games to figure out how the hell they're going to play in the Club World Cup. Because even though this game against Philadelphia was a step in the right direction, this team doesn't look like a team that's even going to compete in the Club World Cup. They look like a team that's going to go in there and absolutely get steamrolled. So they need to use Montreal and Columbus as games to figure out what the hell they're going to do. To me, that's most important, because I know that nobody really has the expectation that we're necessarily going to, you know, come out even of the group stage in the Club World Cup. I don't at least. Mm-hmm. But what I said a few episodes ago was, I just want this team to look competitive in the Club World Cup. So, you know, even if they don't make it out, I want to be like, okay, the teams that they played were just superior to them, and at the end of the day, that's, you know, that's all they can do. But they looked good, the attack looked good, the defense looked good. Maybe they lost by a goal or so, but they looked like they actually had a chance. If this team comes out of this Club World Cup looking absolutely like the worst, then I think the second half of the season becomes even scarier for us. So that's kind of what I'm looking forward too for Montreal and Columbus. Get this team on track and figure out who's going to be on the pitch in the Club World Cup.
Agreed, 100%. All right, well, this was, I think, a good episode, a really fun episode. Talked about some exciting things. I think we all agree resoundingly that result on Saturday has every chance to be that positive season-turning moment where you were able to figure it out and show that you guys care, that you can be a unit, that multiplayers can score through different opportunities. And the next time we'll be here is to announce the signing of Cristiano Ronaldo. So get ready for that. That stream is going to be
lit.
No, I'm kidding. But
I will personally zell you $5 if Ronaldo.
$5?
Yes. I'll buy you a coffee. I'll buy you a Ronaldo jersey. I'll get you whatever you want. If Ronaldo joins, it reminds me to get whatever you want.
If Ronaldo joins, mm-hmm. you two have to split and pay for me to get a Ronaldo Portugal jersey.
Oh my God.
You don't even want the Inter Miami jersey?
No, I want the Portugal jersey. I want the red one.
Oh my gosh.
There's no chance of that happening. So I'll give you $1,000. I'll give you $1,000.
If Di Maria joins,
I want a Ronaldo jersey. but in all seriousness, I will be back tomorrow at 7:30 to live stream the match. So please make sure you're tuned in so we can watch together. Hopefully see an easy result for Inter Miami. We'll discuss the lineups, how players are playing in real time, big moments, all that good stuff. While Matt and Gian will be covering at the stadium as well. It'll be super fun, something different. So make sure you're subscribed at Five Reasons Football and you're following us on X at Messi & Co. For this episode of Messi & Co, I'm Ashley. That is Gian. That is Matt. And we will see you next time.
See you guys.
Ciao.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine & Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.